you ever wish you had a larger vocabulary in English? Do you want to have more English expressions on the tip of your tongue so that you can use them effortlessly in conversation? But do you forget so many of these new English expressions or words that you learn almost immediately after having learnt them? If you answered yes to any of these questions, today's video is for you guys, where I'm going to be talking about how to learn and remember vocab and expressions in English once and for all. Let's get into it. G'day you mob, my name is Pete and I am the host of the Aussie English Podcast, the number one place for anyone and everyone wanting to learn Australian English, as well as get a fair income dose of culture, history, news and current affairs, everything like that. So today, I am answering a question from a young man named Mohsen. Now, Mohsen sent me a message on Instagram that reads, "Hi mate, first of all, I want to thank you for the great content that you make and put on the podcast and Instagram. I found it very helpful and informative. Thanks, Mohsen. I have a question about speaking English, and I'd really appreciate if you can please give me some advice. I've been living in Australia for more than 10 years, and I'm relatively fluent in speaking. Well, depends on what my definition of fluency is, I guess. What I still need to improve is to be able to use the different expressions and more variety of words when I speak rather than simple sentence structures. I try to learn new words and phrases almost every day, but what I struggle with is that most of the time I don't remember them when I want to use them in conversation. I've put together a list of all these phrases that I would like to use on a daily basis in speaking, but rarely do I remember them during the day. Can you please point out what the problem is and what I may be missing to be able to use all the words that I keep in a Word document file? Thanks again and wish you all the best." So, Mohsen, thank you so much for your question. It was a rather long one, but I think there are actually three main things that you're getting to there. I think, firstly, you're wanting to obviously expand your vocab and expression use in English. I think, secondly, there you talked a little bit about wanting to use more complicated sentence structures instead of simpler sentence structures. And then, thirdly, you wanted to retain the vocab and expressions that you had learnt or that you'd written down and kept in a file. You were saying that you keep forgetting them and you can't use them when you have a conversation. So, I thought I would sort of go through my top tips for what to do with regards to learning vocab, speaking with more complicated and advanced structures, and then how to retain the vocab and the structures that you've learnt and make sure that you remember them and you can use them in conversation. So, to begin with, okay, how do you expand vocab and expression use in English? There's no real secret here. It's just exposure, right? The more exposure you get, the more you're going to improve, the more you're going to learn. So, the time spent on task is a very important concept here. It's kind of good news and bad news. There's no secret, one size fits all shortcut or, you know, hack or tip that you can just implement and, you know, tomorrow you're going to be speaking with all this advanced vocab and expressions. But it is good news in that it's just time spent on task. It is just exposure. It's just practice. The more you do, the better you're going to get. You just have to keep pushing. You just have to keep grinding. Okay. So, I covered recently in my top tips for speaking English like a native speaker video, where we were talking more about fluency. I covered in that video a lot of suggestions on how to go and learn new vocab and expressions and then sort of internalize them, right? How you can go away, learn those things, and then use them in fluency. So, go and check that video out. It'll be linked up above here if you want to learn about those things. But to sort of summarize here, I would say find the kinds of materials or content that you enjoy consuming, things like TV shows and podcasts and audiobooks where you've got audio but also the transcript or the subtitles, and then be using that as your study content. And what's more, I would say try and focus on the kind of content that is related to what you want to be speaking about in day-to-day life. So, if, for example, you're an engineer, I would be trying to find podcasts or audiobooks or even TV shows where the kind of language that they're using is related to what you're going to be using on a day-to-day basis, right? Because then the vocab you learn, the expressions you learn can sort of slot straight in to your daily conversation, okay? Whereas if you are a nuclear physicist and you're watching a lot of Big Brother, chances are Big Brother is probably a bad example because it's kind of, you know, daily expressions and stuff you'd probably get out of that. But if you're watching something that was about zookeeping or, you know, aquariums and keeping fish, chances are you're going to be learning a lot of vocab and expressions that isn't directly related to what you may be using or wanting to use on a daily basis at work with your colleagues in an academic environment, okay? So, that sort of first tip there is working out what content do I want to study and how can I make it overlap with the kind of English I'm going to use on a daily basis so that I can take as much as possible from that study content and then use that every single day. The next thing is studying effectively and also enjoying your leisure time, okay? So, when you are spending time on this task and trying to improve, in this example, your conversational skills or your retention of vocab or just your English in general, it kind of gets chopped into two parts, and we'll cover this a little more later on, but you'll have your study time where you are very attentive, you are obviously studying that material in order to improve whatever the thing is, in this case, English or your vocab or expression usage. But then we also need to pair that with leisure time where you're still reinforcing that activity or that task or the thing you're trying to improve, but you're doing it in a fun, playful, less sort of attentive kind of way. So, you may want to spend a smaller portion of your day studying intently and then more of your day just absorbing the content in a leisurely way, in a fun way, where you're not spending as much focus, attention, energy on learning anything specifically. It's just absorption, okay? Let's keep going. All right, so that's sort of the vocab expression and how to expand it. I would say it's the biggest thing here is just get in and get as much content as you can related to what you are wanting to use day to day, you know, the kind of language that you want to use. Try and get those things to overlap as much as possible, the audiobooks, podcasts, or videos, or series. Make sure that you have some study time where you are studying, but make sure also the bulk should really be leisure time. You can't really study for something like 5 hours straight. You should be doing short, sweet, you know, kind of intense periods of study and then have these longer, more relaxed periods of leisure and they kind of complement one another. Again, I'll get into that a little bit later. But now let's talk a little bit about how to use more complex structures in English. Now, you are going to have to go out of your comfort zone. You can't kind of do this passively, right? I mean, there is a passive component to it where in your leisure time or when you're reading or something, you're going to absorb more of these complicated structures. But the way to kind of supercharge this, the way to kind of accelerate this process is to have an active component in your study or in your practice where you're going to be using new structures or more complicated structures in English. So, you may want to do something like, as we talked about in the previous top 5 tips for speaking English like a native speaker video, mining content from the videos or the other content, the podcasts, the audiobooks that you are listening to, that you're consuming, that you're studying, finding the kinds of structures that you would like to use or that you think are useful in day-to-day English that you think you could use when speaking, when at work, when giving presentations, and then writing those down and making sure that you study them later, okay? And again, we'll get into that shortly about the techniques on how to study it. But I would be studying things and looking for connection words. I would obviously be looking for more advanced grammar and how I could use that grammar in my own sort of work environment or conversational environment with my friends, you know, socially. I would be searching for those terms, for those structures, I would be writing them down and then I would be studying them over a period of time until they were internalized and I could then use them effortlessly. And this is what I do with Portuguese. A lot of the time, I am sort of absorbing it passively from my wife when she speaks to me or I'm watching TV shows. But when I know that I'm having trouble saying something in Portuguese, I either ask my wife how she would say that thing or if she has any phrases I can use, or I go online and I use websites like Tatoeba or Reverso, search for the phrase in my native language, English, and then look for the translation in Portuguese, check with someone like my wife, and then study until I can use it and I can remember it. All right, so now let's get on to the most important part here, which is the retention of the vocab and expressions that you're trying to learn. How can you learn new words, new expressions, new phrases, and make them stick in your memory? Make them last so that when you're having conversations with people in English, they just come out spontaneously. You don't have to think about it. You know, they're on the tip of your tongue. You can just say them. The first thing to cover here is probably that, as you'll know, memory can kind of be largely divided into two categories, right? Your short-term memory, where, say, you meet someone and, you know, you probably, like me, have problems remembering names. The name will be in your short-term memory for about 30 seconds. If you don't use it, if you don't think about it, usually after about 30 seconds, it's gone and you look like an idiot when you ask for their name again. Short-term memory. So, it's holding on to information, usually only a little bit of information for a short period of time, 30 seconds or so. Then we have long-term memory, which obviously can last a lifetime, right? It's where you remember things that last days, weeks, decades, lifetime. So, for instance, you know, I am probably never going to forget my parents' names. I'm never going to forget where I grew up. I'm never going to forget, you know, the species of rat that I studied during my PhD. It's all been moved from my short-term memory into my long-term memory a very long time ago. And I'm going to hold on to that for decades. So, what can we do to sort of push things from short-term memory into long-term memory? We're going to go through a few of these sort of techniques and the kinds of things that I would use, but I would start with just reminding yourself that you're not dumb, you're not stupid, you're not forgetful. The real reason that our minds forget things is that the majority of information that our brains come across, we don't want to remember. It's a waste of space, right? It's kind of like if you did have a photographic memory where you remembered every single thing that ever happened to you or that you thought of or whatever it is, it's kind of like a hoarder and filling their house with every single kind of item they ever come across, even though they're never going to use it again. Whereas the average person would be throwing out all these items in their house, putting a lot of rubbish out, the things that they're never going to use again or that are rubbish, they're just going to toss them out and get rid of them. Our brains kind of do the same thing. We filter out the stuff that we think is not important, that we're not going to use in the future, that we don't need to hold on to, and we hold on to the stuff that we do think is important. So, the biggest thing here with new vocab, new expressions, grammatical structures, or more complicated phrases and things you want to use in English is that you need to show your brain, your memory, that it is important to remember these things because you're going to use them. So, the very first tip I would have here for you guys is reading, okay? Reading a lot. So, that's the sort of passive side of things covered. Reading for leisure time. We covered leisure and study earlier. But I would make sure that you are reading and I would separate this both into study time and leisure time. Have a sort of resource that you really focus in on. And for me, for example, if I was reading a book and it was in Portuguese, what I would do with this book is read it chapter by chapter. I would read the first chapter as leisure time. I would read through it and just enjoy it, try and absorb everything that I can. The next time, I would read this chapter a second time as soon as I finished it, and I'll highlight the words, the phrases, the structures that I didn't know or that I want to remember, that I want to come back to later. And then the third time, I'm going to study it intensively. So, I'm going to write down all of these highlighted words. I'm going to define them. I'm going to find example sentences of them. I'm going to try and paraphrase and use these phrases or words in my own words. And then thirdly, I'm going to read the same chapter 2, 3, 4, 10 times, okay? So that I am absorbing those same words, those same structures again and again and again, okay? You can do that over a period of a week. You could do that all in once in the one day, but it's probably better to try and stretch it out, not just sort of do it all in one session. But reading a lot is a big key to learning vocab and expressions and grammar and structures and holding on to it, okay? So, tip number one is just read like crazy. Whilst we're here talking about reading, I should mention there is this law of sort of diminishing returns with vocab, meaning that, as you guys will know, the most common 100 words in English and in your language usually make up 50% of the words on a page in a book. The 1,000 most common words are 80% of the words on the page. And then 10,000 most common words are going to be 99% of the words on a page in a book, right? So, you end up with, you learn 100 words and you've already covered 50% of the words you'll ever come across. You cover 1,000, you get 80%, you cover 10,000, you get almost to 100%. And then after that, it takes a lot of time and a lot of reading and a lot of consumption to find the 11,000, 12,000, 20,000 next most frequent words. So, why does this matter? This is why it's so important to read all the time, because you need to get those reps in. You need to be coming across these words and phrases multiple times over weeks or months in order to learn new phrases. And because once you get past 10,000 words, they're very infrequent, it means that you need to be consuming a great deal more content to be seeing those words again in context and then learning them. Now, when I was doing a bit of research into the acquisition of languages, I fell in love with a professor called Paul Nation from the University of Wellington in New South Wales, in New Zealand, right? So, he's a Kiwi across the ditch in New Zealand. Now, he did some research that showed in order to learn a word or a phrase, I believe you have to come across it 12 times, right? 12 separate times and in context. That's not just seeing the word by itself with no context. That's seeing the word or the phrase in a sentence where you can understand what it means, how it's being used. You need to see it 12 times before it can be pushed into long-term memory. So, again, this sort of emphasizes why it's so important to be reading and consuming a lot of content as often as possible, and also content that you understand, where everything is in context. You know, you want to, I think Paul Nation also said you need to be reading content or consuming content where you understand 98% of what you're hearing or what you're reading, so that the 2% you don't understand have enough context around them that you can understand the meaning of that word or that phrase naturally, like that, passively. Okay. So, all right, that was a big sort of first tip there for that section. The next one I want to talk about is spaced repetition systems. These are SRS programs. My favorite one is Anki. Now, I used this a lot when I was learning French and Portuguese initially. I'll link a video up here showing you how I like to use Anki. I did a tutorial on it. But these programs are really good because they have an algorithm built into them where you create these flashcards effectively with, say, a word or a phrase on the front, and then maybe it's missing some letters or missing some words out of the phrase. You test yourself, can you remember what it is? You look at the back and it tells you. Now, the algorithms in these SRS programs space these cards out so that you see them at the perfect time to review them in the future so that you can then remember them. So, you may see one on the first day, you got it, it was easy, you'll see it again in a day, then you get it again, you get it correct, you'll see it again in a week, you get it correct again, you'll see it in a month. After that, you've effectively learnt it. So, these programs are really good where you take the words, the phrases that you're trying to learn, you create cards in your deck in these programs, and then you review the deck, you review these sort of digital flashcards and practice that vocab. Now, I found when I was doing this, I was learning dozens of new words or phrases every single day by just reviewing the cards that I made. And I also found that when I was out having conversations in French or Portuguese, that as a result of doing these revisions, the words and the phrases were always on the tip of my tongue. I could remember the most random words. I remember in French, I remembered all these words for things like dams and lakes and, you know, words that you just wouldn't normally come across, but I'd learnt because I was doing biology and reading a lot about these things. So, Anki and spaced repetition systems are a great resource that you need to use. Again, if you want to push words and phrases out of the short-term memory and into your long-term memory so that you can use them when speaking with people effortlessly and easily, where it's just going to be a spontaneous production of English, right? You don't have to think and ah and have trouble remembering it. The next thing that I used when I was doing French and Portuguese originally, and I was having trouble holding on to certain words, or maybe I was trying to learn the genders of different words in French or in Portuguese, because we don't have that in English, it's to use a process called, I think it's mnemonics, right? It's got a silent M at the front, mnemonics. So, a mnemonic is also known as a memory aid, and it's a tool that helps you remember an idea, a phrase, some letters, numbers, and, you know, it allows you to associate things so that you can remember, okay? So, there are many different methods for this. I'm going to link some articles below that you can go and check out so that you can see the different methods. But the main ones I remember using when studying languages were acronyms, and a recent one that I had to learn was RICE. Rest, ice, compress, and elevate. RICE. That was because I sprained my ankle in the yard and I had to take care of it so that, you know, I could recover as quickly as possible. So, they used an acronym that I can easily remember, RICE, rest, ice, compress, and elevate. So, acronyms are really good. See if you can come up with a way, if you're trying to remember a phrase, of making an acronym. Memory Palace, or the method of loci, is a really good system in mnemonics as well, where you have an imaginary location in your mind. You know, you could be imagining your family house, and you associate objects in the house or rooms in the house with pieces of vocab or expressions or things that you're trying to remember associated with that language or whatever other activity or task it is. Keyword mnemonics, that's another one. You may think, okay, I'm learning the word gato, which means cat in Portuguese. It sounds like gate in English. So, maybe I imagine in my head a cat on a gate. There's a gato on the gate. Okay, now I'm going to remember when I think of what's the word for cat in Portuguese. Oh, it's on a gate. Oh, gato, gato. Okay, so keyword mnemonics is another one. And then lastly, there is a really cool system called chunking. And this is where you organize information into easily learnt groups. So, how would you do this in English? It would be learning a phrase instead of a single word. Learn an entire phrase, right? So that you have other words that are all associated with one another. So, you're not just learning a single word, you're learning a whole bunch of words. And you're also learning that phrase and how to use that phrase. So, it kind of reinforces itself as well as the word that you're trying to learn. And yeah, it's a really good process. Now, this links really well with the next tip I have, which is learning chunks, not single words. I interviewed Lucas van Vive, who I believe is a Belgian polyglot. I should have probably just double-checked that before I mentioned him. I interviewed him in episode 584 of the podcast, Effortless Conversations. He has this amazing book called Effortless Conversations, and it is a method for learning chunks in order to improve your language. Basically, what he goes over is the importance of when you're studying to learn the entire phrase or multiple words as they're used together instead of just learning single words on their own, because then you can take these phrases you've learnt, and when you have conversations, you end up just stringing together these phrases, these structures, these grammatical sequences in English. And it's a lot more natural and effortless than just trying to use single words and creating phrases on the spot off the top of your head, okay? So, go and check out that interview with Lucas. It'll be linked up here and see what you think. Hopefully, that helps. Lastly, I wanted to talk about studying, okay? So, I said at the start, you know, you've got to divide your time into leisure versus study. And it's actually really important to study effectively, right? We don't want to waste time. But I think the average person would probably agree that they have noticed when they study that they often drift off and end up doing something else after a certain period of time. Now, this is because our attention span is finite, right? You will find this when you're watching a TV show that's boring, that you can sort of follow it for a bit and then you might fall asleep. It might be when you're reading a book, you know, and you find it a little dull and you've read the same thing a dozen times and you can't remember what it said. Could be in a lecture and you've sort of started dozing off and you're not following the lecture anymore. I watched a lecture recently by Marty Lobdell, who was a professor of psychology at Pierce College in the United States of America, and it was called Study Less, Study Smart. I'll put that up on the screen here. This was a really good lecture where he talked about how to study effectively. One of the biggest takeaways from this lecture was the fact that our attention span when studying is between 10 and 20 minutes. It's something like a maximum of 25 minutes for the average person. So, we think we're doing a lot when we study for 2 hours, you know, study, but really what you're doing is studying for 20, 25 minutes, and then after that, you're kind of just wasting time. So, a lot of what he was saying in this lecture, he gave a lot of other tips too on studying effectively, but one of the biggest points was to use the Pomodoro technique. Now, the Pomodoro technique is effectively study for 20 to 25 minutes, and then give yourself 5 minutes or 10 minutes of a rest. Of a break, go do something entertaining, go and relax, and then come back once refreshed and repeat the process again. It's called Pomodoro because I believe Pomodoro is Italian for tomato, and the little timers that you can use in the kitchen are Pomodoro timers, and you can use those. You can click it up to 25 minutes, wait for it to tick down, then you have your little break for 5 minutes, and then you can use it again. Now, this is probably a really, really important piece of advice to use. When you are studying with Anki, more is not better. Less and then intense focused study is good. It's better. Go away, take some time off, take a day off, you know, do it again the next day, or separate it out into chunks. Do 20 minutes in the morning, do 20 minutes at lunch, do 20 minutes in the evening of whatever thing you are studying, okay? So, separating your study out into these chunks, making it more effective like that. And then, if you really want to keep, you know, studying or consuming the content, switch into your leisure time. You know, spend an hour watching a TV show lightly without really focusing on it too much, and then study heavily later. So, that was sort of the main thing I wanted to talk about here at the end with study. I'll also link below a 6-minute review of the Study Less, Study Smart lecture by Thomas Frank. He's got a great YouTube channel you should check out too, where he talks about study techniques and how to get more out of your day and be much more efficient when you're trying to learn something. So, there you go, guys. That was a big, big, big answer, Mohsen, but hopefully, you see this or you hear this and hopefully, you get a lot out of this video. Hopefully, you can implement these techniques and use it to level up your English. I'm Pete. This is Aussie English. I hope you've enjoyed it. And if you have any questions, please leave them down below in a comment. And I'll try and create a video like this for you in the future. So, yeah.